Good evening. It's good to see you back this evening. I hope you enjoy maybe some sunshine this afternoon. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day the Lord bless us with. Elders asked me to make an announcement that immediately following this evening service will be a congregational meeting. It will be the annual corporation meeting for the church, and the elders will give a brief update about the budget and the work laid before us in 2016. So that's immediately following this evening service. And so I encourage everyone to stay for that. It can be very, very informative. So we sort of pick up tonight where we left off this morning and looking at this imperative command that Jesus gives to tell us to go, as we talked about in the past, that it's not a future endeavor, it's a current experience as Christians. Jake talked about last week about how life is movement by the fact we do this for a spiritual life in Christ Jesus. This morning we unpack some ideas regarding the fact that the command is about changing us, not just changing the world, that Jesus, and giving the command to his disciples, really was going to change them to become fishers of men, to be a way to evangelize the world. But in so doing, that there was opportunity to grow physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually in the Lord as we emulate the life of Christ. And so that's sort of what we got to this morning. And if you remember, we sort of looked at the video this morning, the little brother and sister that did an awesome job telling the Easter story and how easy it is to express and share the message of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do for the world. I sort of allude this morning to Dr. Seuss, of all people, as having something somewhat profound to say about the ideal of going. So if you'll entertain me for a few moments, let me talk, read to you, suffer with me for a few moments. I'll just like to read. It's a kid's book, but it's very informative. This was written a year prior to his death, and so it was one of those last works that he wrote. So most of you are familiar with Horton, Here's a Who, the Cat in the Hat, and Green Eggs and Ham and stuff. So let's go with it. Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own. And you know what you know, and you're the guy who'll decide where to go. You'll look up and down the streets, look them over with care, and about some you will say, I do not choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you will go. You'll be on your way. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly it's true, that bang-up and hang-ups can happen to you. You get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on, and you'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself, it's not easily done. You'll come to a place where streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. A place where you could sprain both your elbow and your chin. Do you not dare stay out, or do you dare go in? How much you can lose, how much you can win. And if you go in, should you turn left or right, or right or three quarters, or maybe not quite, or go around and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a middle maker upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you'll start it into race down long wiggly roads at a breaknecking pace, and grind on for miles across weirdish wild spaces, headed, I fear, for the most useless of places. The waiting place where people just waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a train or plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting yes for yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for a fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting for Friday night, or perhaps waiting for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all the waiting and staying. You'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With a banner flippy-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky. Ready because you're just that kind of guy. Oh, the places you go. There's fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be famous as famous can be with the whole wide world watching you on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too, because games you can't win because you'll play against you. All alone. Whether you like it or not, all alone can be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you don't want to go on. But go on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. And you will go through the Hockencrock's cow, onward up many frightening creeks. Though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak, on and on you'll hike. For I know that you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with strange words as you go. Be sure when you step with great care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft. And never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So be your name Bruxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Ally Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. This book has been read and gifted in many occasions. It's been read at different baccalaureate ceremonies and graduations of all kinds. It's been gifted to kids graduating from preschool all the way up to college. But there's a very simple truth in it, is that you're going to go. And there's some biblical principles really sort of espousing this, that God has given you and equipped you to go. As long as you got brain in your head and shoes and feet in your shoes, you've got what it takes. You have nothing to lose. So you have brain in your head and feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your way, and you know what to know and where you are the one who'll decide where to go. This morning we sort of looked at Luke 10 a little bit, that Jesus sent this commission of 70 people out. It was considered the limited commission. It wasn't that we wanted to go into the whole world, but it was going to Judea. And he sent them out, and he said that go to every place you can go, and he said, I will send you as lambs among wolves. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard, he says. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals. Jesus sent them out, and one gospel account, he says, more or less, and in fact, in Luke says, just whatever house you go to, count on them to take care of you. Don't really expect that you're going to have to take your provision with you, that God will provide a way for you. That's a pretty big thing. I mean, I don't know how you go when you're planning for a trip. You know, some of you may like to make lists. Tammy likes to make lists of things to take on a trip, and she likes to check the list off and make sure you have everything. But Jesus is telling, listen, I'm going to send you to the world. I'm going to send you through all of Judea. And what I want you to do is, don't take extra shoes, don't take extra clothes, don't take a backpack, don't take anything. Just go. What kind of faith did it take to do that? When God calls us to go to be His light in this world, He has equipped us with resources. In fact, in these things that Jesus said, that he really challenges them, that for them to trust in Him. We read this morning how they came back and they were so ecstatic because they said, even the demons respond to your name. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. This should be a verse that's very familiar to many of us and from reading this week. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church
by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's really a powerful verse, isn't it? When we think about it, God is able to do what we ask. That's what that verse says, that God is able to do what we ask. In fact, God is able to do what we ask and what we imagine that God can do. God is capable. God is able to do that. In fact, we can go any further, that God is able to do all we ask and what we imagine. So not only what we imagine, what we, but God is capable of doing that. And we go even further in that verse, it says God is able to do more than we ask and what we imagine. That God can exceed our ability to ask. In fact, even further than that, God is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask and what we can imagine. So God is at work in us. His work is spelled out in us. That's what God does. Paul really introduces some pretty high theology in some respects in Ephesians that he begins in chapter 1 talking about really the nature of the way things are and who Christ was in God, and that he's brought it down to us in a very powerful way, that this church or this group of churches there in the area, that God is at work within them and for them to believe and embrace that God is able to do more than what we ask or imagine. I don't know if you're a planner. I don't know if you're a planner. That's part of what the elders are probably laying before us tonight, some of the plans for the congregation. But where would you like to see this church in the next year? Where would you like to see this church in the next 5 years? And what Paul really sort of asked the believers there at Ephesus to do is to embrace the idea that whatever you ask, God is able to answer that. And whatever you can even imagine, God is able to. In fact, God can do more than we ask or imagine. But for that to happen, you have to be involved in the directive to go. As we each individually carry out the gospel in our lives and carry the message, that we can grow the body of Christ, and in so doing, grow ourselves in the Lord. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. Jesus said, "Then because of your unbelief, surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus really challenged his believers, his followers, his disciples, to have the kind of faith to look at obstacles and say, "Get out of my way," and to believe that it can happen. Jesus compared this, compared to faith as a small grain of mustard seed, that if we just have that much faith, things can move and things can change our lives. The things that maybe get in the way of us, the obstacles that we have to face, that we can have those removed. Well, the places you go, today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. We all have mountains in our life. We all have obstacles. But by faith, Jesus says, we can confront those and we can move those. And Paul's theology says, more than you can ask or imagine, God is able to do. You might say, "Well, you know, Mark, you and Jake have been talking about this go, and you know, I understand the principles behind it, and I understand the importance of it. But the same token, you say, well, if God can do anything, why does God need me to do it? Why can't just God do His own work? Why do I have to be engaged in this process? Why me of all people? Does God need me to go? I mean, if God can do anything, God can do more than you. Why doesn't just God just take care of it on His own and sort of leave me out of it? Why can't I just sort of be left in my comfort zone? Why can't I just stay where I'm at and God just do what God's going to do?" I'm going to look at the Matthew chapter 16 account of the commission. And I think this is really critically important for us to appreciate as believers. Matthew differs just a little bit from Mark in his account. But Mark says, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who is believed and baptized will say, he who does not believe will be condemned." Of course, we know that the commission is to take the gospel to all the world. We know that. But Jesus specifically sent them to do this. That he wanted them to be the agents by which he was going to carry the message to the world. Now, God is not limited. God has spoke through burning bushes, and God has spoke through wind, and God has spoken all manners of, you know, God even used a donkey one time to speak. God is not limited in what he can do. But for some reason, God chose this method to take his message to all the world. It is that we, as believers, as disciples of Jesus, were entrusted with this responsibility. Something unique happens to those who obey the gospel. This is really important to understand. Something very unique happens when you obey the gospel. In fact, Acts chapter 2, when they preached the first sermon, when they went about committing themselves to the commission, and they preached the first sermon, and the crowd said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" Peter said, "Then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He promised them that there was going to receive something, a very important thing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. And this is really, really important to understand that when you became a child of God, that God entrusted you, God put his Spirit within you for a specific purpose. And the Spirit dwells within you. That peace of God that he wants you to have now lives in you. And that same God who can do all that we can ask, all we can ask and imagine, more than we can ask, immeasurably more than we can ask and imagine, he put that peace in you. Paul said this in Corinthians, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So, you're the earthen vessel that God put his Holy Spirit in, so that he may be glorified through us. This was God's plan. This was God's intent. So back to the question, you say, well, then why me? Why am I the one that is called to be part of the gospel delivering method? You know, God could do it anyway, but why me? And Paul says, so that God may receive glory. Because in all your failures and all your struggles, God says, you are equipped to be my agent for change in this world. Because I put my Spirit within you. Now, how does this fit in the big plan? Well, one, to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit means it makes me an agent of the Holy Spirit. It's working in my life for change and transformation. When I'm yielding to God and I'm following what the Spirit is directing me and do, and I'm reading God's Word and letting the Spirit speak to me through that, when I'm trying to do my best to do God's will, it's transformational. That's what we said. The act of going transforms you. But it's also the method by which God wants his message carried out through us. Through you, through me, through the body of believers. Jesus had 11 men he commissioned on that day to go into all the world. Imperfect men with an imperfect number to go into the whole world. And you sit here tonight as an evident and testimony that they did what they were sent to do. The gospel's come down to you. So to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit makes me an agent of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7 through 8, this is a passage that we've talked some about in the past few months, but I think we really need to appreciate this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus says to the disciples, it is to your advantage that I will go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, and he, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they did not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. God chose us to have the Spirit live within us to accomplish the work of the Holy Spirit. To convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. By our own stories, by our own experience, whenever Paul got a chance to almost talk to anybody, he would say, hey, did I ever tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus? How the Lord appeared to me? And how I was blinded? And they had to lead me to Damascus because I couldn't see. And I sat there in a fast for 3 days, praying to God. And this disciple, the Lord came to me, Ananias. And he said to me, and Brother Saul, why are you waiting around? Arise, be baptized, call in the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins. And he says, and I did that. And the Spirit of the Lord came within me, and I've served the Lord all the days of my life. It's your story. It's how God's going to use you, your past, your circumstances, where you are in Christ Jesus. He's going to use your story to take the message that he once heard in this world. It's your own personal conviction about the sin in your life. It's your own personal conviction about the only one who's righteous, Jesus. And your own personal conviction about facing judgment. That's what God wants to be done in this world. And he chose, as Paul said, earthen vessels to do this. You can reach people that I can't reach. You know people that I will never know, or Jake will never know, or Dustin will never know. You have a way, in the genuine way that God made you, to be a presence and light for him in this world. That's why the command to go means you. I must go because I have the Holy Spirit with me and it has been entrusted to me. We can't limit God. God can do what God will do. And in times past, God spoke directly to people. We know that Saul is an example on the road to Damascus. We know the prophets God spoke to directly, but the Hebrew writer says, but in these last days he spoke to us through his son. And his son says, go. His son says, the Spirit will come when I go to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And on Acts chapter 2, we realize that we received that gift when we became believers. We become a witness and testimony to God's divine purpose. To convict the world of sin because our own personal experience with it. Convict the world of righteousness because we know that none righteous, no, not one. Only the Lord himself is righteous. And by obeying him, his righteousness is accounted for us. And we know there's a judgment. It's appointed to man once died after the judgment. And we live in light of that. So God has entrusted to me. Oh, the places you will go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. None of us know what tomorrow may bring. We have no promise of it for one thing, but you never know who God may have crossed your path in order for you to be light. And just by your moral conduct, I mean, we live in a pretty broken world. Just by our moral conduct, and what we avoid doing, and what we choose to do and will ourselves to do, itself is a testimony of the righteousness of Christ. The things that we do not do that we know is sin, itself is a testimony of Christ. To know what sin and righteousness. And the fact that we look forward to a day in which we can be called home to be with the Lord forever. Before any of this transformation can happen, before anything we've talked about, you must be willing to go. And oh, the places you'll go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Now him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Tonight, the elder is going to share and report, and Ray asked me to verify the number of the folks that were baptized here last year, and I think we decided it was 5, wasn't it? That's not that we're rejoicing in each decision, but that's not reflective of folks who have a burden for going. It's not. What do you want to see happen? What would be the number of responses you think would be reflective of the number of lives that are being capably touched by this body of believers? Go may mean just a mental shift for you, a different way of thinking. Not a different way of doing it, maybe even a different way, but a different way of thinking. Is that I'm the light that God's sending in this world. I'm the vessel by which the Holy Spirit is being carried in this world today. Because he put it in me, and I became his child. If you're here tonight, we would love to take this time to celebrate your decision. To hear you can make that confession that Jesus Christ, Son of God, to be buried with him in baptism. If you're here tonight and you need a prayer, maybe you need to be strengthened to go. Maybe you're under conviction that there's something in your way that you need to fix before you go. Brother Jerry's going to lead us in a song at this time as a means of invitation. If you're subject, won't you come as we stand and sing?